tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Sword Art Online fans. Welcome to another edition of the AfterBuzz Recap Show. This week's episode is episode 25, the World Seed. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Better.
So much better.
It's over now.
We're at the end.
Yes. Joining me on the panel today is Katie Cullen.
Yay!
Liz Rishmawi.
What's going on?
Tari Miller.
What are you doing?
I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and joining us on the panel today, we have three, count them three, everybody, very, very special guests.
Uno, dos, tres.
Uno, dos, tres. And it's a reunion of the Moonlit Black Cats. Joining us on the panel today is Eric Kimmerer.
Hey, how's it going?
Lucian Dodge.
Hello.
And Xanthi Nguyen. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on the panel today. And I'm really glad we have you here, because now that we're at the end of the series, it's kind of nice to go back and talk to you guys. And I feel like everything has gone full circle. Because none of this would have happened if you guys hadn't been there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
None of it. Absolutely none of this. It's all because of us. We claim credit for everything.
We're the plot points, the major plot points of an episode.
We're really the heroes of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of this really could have
that
happened.
That being said, your guys' episodes did rip our hearts out. I hope you know.
Yes. So I think it was the first episode in the series where it was, for me, it was, I felt like, whoa,
stuff's
just
real.
Just got real.
Yeah.
People are dead now.
I know someone died the previous episode, but we didn't know.
Didn't know them.
Now we've got emotional attachment? What?
Okay. I don't want to get attached.
Well, what's funny is at Anime Expo, they did a fan vote of the top three favorite episodes of Sword Art Online and aired them there before they did the premiere for the second season. And the first two episodes were the very heartbreaking ones. It was our episode, and it was the one with Yui.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it seems the fans really like getting their hearts broken.
What was the third?
The third was, I think it was the one where Asuna and Kirito just started hanging out and like started their team together.
The blue-eyed monster, I think.
Yeah, that was it.
That makes sense. But no, that makes sense, because as television viewers, viewing television these days is a lot like being in an abusive relationship. No matter how badly the show hurts you, you keep coming back to it.
That's the epitome of this show.
Well, no, I mean, look at like all the stuff that's popular right now, like Game of Thrones and
Walking Dead.
And
Breaking
Bad.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
No matter how badly it hurts you, you can't look away. It's like a train wreck.
And people
go to TV for escapism.
Watch cartoons.
Yeah. It's a catharsis.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I'm glad that's not me. Schadenfreude, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Schadenfreude, yeah.
Okay. Making me feel glad that I'm not you.
Yeah, there's a song about it, too.
There is.
Anyway, so let's go ahead and get into this week's episode, because not only are we going to talk about episode 25, The World Seed, we've gotten a ton of requests from you guys who comment on YouTube and everything like that to review the extra edition. And we're going to be honest, we don't really have time to go through that just with our airing schedule and anything, but we will touch on it towards the end of this episode, so we will talk about it. But let's go ahead and talk about episode 25 right now. This episode starts off with Kirito riding full speed ahead towards the hospital where Asuna is staying. And in his mind, he's kind of playing out two different scenarios. One scenario in his head is that she's going to be there sitting up, you know, awake, waiting for him. And the other scenario is that something went wrong and that all her vitals just flatline. And so he's on his way to the hospital.
It's Schrodinger's girlfriend.
is she alive or is she dead? He won't know until he looks. She's both until he actually walks into the room.
The other 299 people don't matter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the funny
They're
thing.
They're still not logged out. Priorities.
He was so dead set on going to see his girlfriend that he kind of forgot to log out all those people who are trapped.
Well, they're still there right now.
Yeah. Womp, womp. But anyway, so as he's pulling up to the hospital, who should be there waiting for him but Sugo?
With a knife.
Yeah.
And I totally called it. The first thing I said at the end of the last episode was, Sugo's still alive.
Yes, yeah.
Sugo's still alive. Somebody call the cops. Somebody do something. Why is nobody doing anything? There's this crazy guy still on the loose.
Every time I remember, because Katie is the person who doesn't like to, like, she goes as we go with the season. She doesn't want spoilers. And yeah. She kept on saying last week when we were recapping the last two episodes, you know, like, I'm glad that guy's dead. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, totally.
What you presume. But I also told you that my happy ending was seeing him get arrested, and lo and behold,
we didn't get to see it, unfortunately.
I don't care. We saw him interrogated, and we know he's hosed. So.
Yeah, so.
But, hey, we're good.
But yeah, that whole scene, like, I actually wasn't expecting it.
Really?
Well, I knew that he was probably still alive, and I figured before I watched this episode, they were probably going to touch on what happened to him, but I thought it was going to be something like, he tried to escape the country, but then they caught him, and da-da-da-da. I didn't know he was just going to be, like, there. Like, I thought maybe he would be having so much difficulty and in pain and, like, severely hurt from what happened in the game.
That he wouldn't have been able to move.
He wouldn't have been able to, like, get there. And then that's when he said it. I was like, what?
He's in berserker mode.
Right. I mean, he's vindictive enough to be like, no, I'm going to kill this kid. Yeah. No chance he wouldn't show up at the hospital.
Or, like, crawl over
I've lost
there.
Feeling on the right side of my body, but by gosh, I will shank that kid.
When I had first watched it, I assumed that he was going to go kill Asuna just as, like,
That's what I was really afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I thought that first too, but I figured if he were to actually kill Asuna, it wouldn't benefit him at all because, like, I mean, granted, this hospital has no security. No one's watching anyway.
Negligent hospital in the world. Yeah, I'm telling you, all of these hospitals exist in Silent Hill. But there's no staff. There's no nothing. Creepy people hang out outside.
I think that... you know, I feel like it would have hurt him because, you know, he was supposed to either be, like, adopted slash marry her, so to speak, to get the wealth of her father's share in the company. So it really wouldn't have benefited him if something did happen to
her.
Well,
you expect him to think straight at this point.
Yeah. At that point, did he everything lost?
I expect him to touch her inappropriately, not kill her to ruin his own chances. But,
but no,
I think you're absolutely right because he had lost at that point.
Yeah,
and
everything.
Now,
nothing. He didn't really have much to hold on to. There was no way he could bounce back after that. So
and people are out and about and they know what he's done.
Yeah.
So they're clearly going to go to the cops. The only thing he can do is run, but instead he decided to run back to the hospital because he's got these weird delusions of grandeur.
Which isn't the first place they would look for him, is it? I mean, it's kind
of... Of course not.
No.
I'm still the fairy king!
Yeah. That's probably the funny thing, too, is he's still in such denial that he's going to win. It's like, no, dude. Dude, it's over.
Like all the companies will accept me and want my grandeur and my godlike powers. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
There's nothing to stop me from taking over the world. Sit down. Sit down.
Yeah. But that whole scene was pretty intense, though. I mean, because he gets his arm slashed.
Yeah, because we see, like, probably actually for the first time in this entire series, we see blood.
Mm-hmm.
Because
real blood?
Yeah,
like not pixelated crystals of ruby goodness?
Yes.
If that happened in the real world, I'd be worried about everything.
Just like, I never left the game. Oh, no.
Every time I get a paper cut, I'd be like, oh, pretty.
Yeah, that was definitely the plus side of watching this series is whenever scenes got really brutal, you know, we never saw any blood or anything like that. Even when it was, like, heart-wrenching and kind of terrible to watch, especially with Laughing Coffin.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a game. This is real, and there's blood, and there's a guy with a knife gunning for you.
The consequences are real now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You guys died in a pretty glittery sense. It was very
well.
Yeah, but they still died.
Yeah. That's true.
But we don't see Kata die.
No.
You saw me.
You just see him get smaller and smaller.
He's just falling in a loop.
But they didn't he though, because I felt like he fell and then at he hit a certain point very down below and it went kind of like.
No, what
it
we
probably
see that
happens, but we didn't see
we,
that.
We see that later when other people commit suicide. When Yui's watching them, we see them crystallize. But because for a while we didn't know what happened to people when they jumped off the edge, because we never saw what happened to Kata.
They're falling for a different
position.
There was part of us.
I shouldn't say this. I know it's a big spoiler, but
newsflash, season 3, Kata, he's the villain. He's been alive this whole time.
He just lands in Alfheim online.
Exactly.
Like,
big twist. Sorry, I know I shouldn't have spoiled that.
He respawned in Halo. Yeah. He's just like, what the...
what am I doing here?
He just ended up back at the town of beginnings.
In a dress.
Oh, yeah. But as Sugo is trying to kill Kirito, Kirito comes to the realization clearly that this guy is insane, but that he's never had any real power. You know, throughout all of this, it was all just kind of overcompensating for how weak he is in his, you know, in real life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so Kirito manages to disarm him, and in like
the knife.
And in a blinding rage, is this close to slitting Sugo's throat. And I was so relieved when he didn't.
Yeah. Right.
Because if he had gone through with it, I was like, you can't be our hero anymore. You're an anti-hero at best, if not, you know, just as bad as the person you just killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what did you guys think on that?
I'm so glad they didn't actually go there. It's like, don't put it down. Don't. This is not the game. This is not the game.
Well, yeah. Like, in that moment, like, especially like during this episode, you keep seeing him flash over the people's characters to their real life bodies, and so it's him trying to distinguish between real life and like the game world. And so in game world, especially during the ALO arc, he was killing people left and right, and so it was that moment where he was contemplating his
exactly.
I'm that person who's like sitting there leaning on my side watching on my computer, my cats are like around me, and then I freak out my cat because I'm like, come on, at least take the knife with you. Come on. Like, that was the only thing that bugged me. He's like, you're not worth it. Yeah, put the knife there. Put the knife there. Take it with you.
And turn your back to him.
Yeah. It's a proof.
Yeah, you're really lucky that, you know, Sugo just kind of keeled over there in the parking lot because he made a beeline to Asuna's room and, again, didn't call the cops. He's a teenager. Every teenager has a cell phone. Just
well,
a quick call
to 911. I hope he'd stop and, like, get his bandage up in the hospital or something.
There wasn't even a night receptionist.
No, I know.
What hospital is this? This is the best hospital money can buy, but we can't afford a night reception.
We can't afford a night staff.
In the future, there were a lot of strikes for the medical workers in Japan, and that's what happened.
Well, all we can expect funds, in 2020.
All the funds went towards feeding Asuna, because when she woke up, she wasn't like a bag of bones. She was plump. And
she looked fantastic. When Kirito woke up,
shining.
When Kirito woke up, his hair's all greasy and he's emaciated. But when she wakes up,
want to say emaciated.
That's not right.
Well, that's anymore.
I just had that conversation the other day. I'm like, they're like emancipate that, like Macaulay Culkin. Well, he was a little both, but.
Well, no, but emancipated actually is a correct word for when he woke up because they were all afraid.
But she's the girl and the love interest, so she has to look good.
But I will say, you know, despite
never do that baby voice again.
Despite, you know, a lot of the flaws that have been in season 2, it is wonderful to see them come back together.
Yeah.
And despite, you know, again, the flaws, it's been great, and it's great to see them back together, and it's great. They're still cute. They're still adorable, and I like seeing them together. So it was gratifying to see them come back together again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the opening theme kicks in, and I'm like, oh, that's the end of the episode. Wait. No. 2.5 minutes, we've wrapped minutes. Everything up.
Just like, wow, that was short. That was quick. Moving on to the point. But then we cut to SAO High, which is kind of what I would like a series about.
Yeah.
You know, because all the people from Sword Art Online have kind of been put in one school together, you know, regardless of your grade or anything like that. But to keep an eye on them. But that means that everybody who made connections in the game has now, you know, now they get to meet in the real world and they get to interact with each other. And so these people that you've made bonds with over the last 2 years, you get to see them again.
Does anybody find it interesting that the only person who seemingly looked different from their avatar after Kayaba. After he took off the thing and everybody was supposed to look exactly like how they did in it, the only person who looked different because of her hair color was Lisbeth.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
was weird.
I don't think she got a mod in game that she was able to do that with or something.
Maybe, but you would think that the mods weren't allowed because like nobody else, like no one else seemed to have mods.
Well,
maybe
there was
she
an
dyed
info
her
broker.
Hair.
There was an info broker that had marks on her face and that
green
was an in game mod.
Yeah.
Diabelle from the second episode as well had blue hair, like striking blue hair.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's also like, but you didn't know what they look like outside the game. And I guess she's the only one that we've really seen after outside the game that she had not pink hair. But then I'm thinking, what if they had, like, dyed hair, and then as they were playing the game 2 years in, it grew out? Like, did their roots show?
Well, actually, in the episode with Elizabeth, she had a picture of herself and a couple other people, and she had brown hair in the picture.
Okay.
So it was an in-game thing.
Okay.
But that would be funny. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. There was something I wanted to mention off of the reunion and when Kaiba made everybody see their real selves. In episode 25, when they're going through the flashes and Kirito is narrating over what happened after he and Asuna reunited, there was one thing that I did want to point out, a little cute little Easter egg. Do you guys remember those two guys that
were in the dresses?
Yes.
Well, there was like a guy playing a girl.
It
was
You're not a girl.
You see them in the hospital reuniting, and they're so happy to see each other in that scene. There's a flash of
them.
That was them. Yeah. Yeah. So I would like to. My headcanon is they married in game. They actually
true love.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's because one of them looked like super plump, and the other one like had longer hair or something. Scene. So
and it was different colors too.
Well, that's terrible then, because they were one of the people that were caught, you know, it was 300 caught. People that were caught from SAO.
He was caught in drag for like 3 years.
Oh, that's terrible. But that's great that I didn't realize that was them.
Yeah,
that's
it was
hilarious.
A cute little Easter egg that I caught just like watching it an hour ago when I was preparing for this. I was like, oh my God.
Love found a way. speaking on that, as Kirito and Asuna are sitting down and they're talking about this is kind of our epilogue episode now, because we find out that Rec has folded under after this scandal. Sugo has gone to jail. Asuna's dad is retired and taking an early retirement and now doesn't know what to do with all his free time. And the 300 people who were trapped after SAO.
No damage, no memory.
Exactly. They're all
waste.
Fine.
Yeah.
What a waste of a plot setup. Because you could have done so much with these people who had their memories messed up. You could have set something in place so that things would happen in the real world when they woke up. You could have made them sleeper agents within the game. Again, you could have made Asuna the final boss, brainwashed her, and been like, oh, you have to fight her for my amusement.
You could have given them Stockholm Syndrome and have them in the next games, in the next seasons. Like they just don't want to leave the games
anymore.
They
can't leave the virtual world.
Yeah.
They're like,
they are now NPCs.
What a waste of a
It's like hell.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Nothing happened with this. Yeah. They had so much potential, and it was just like, oh well.
It would have
He's
been
evil.
There was a lot of potential here, in the same way that there was a lot of potential in the first arc for various things, especially Laughing Coffin. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe season 3 or 4, we will see.
Yeah,
who knows?
Spoilers, Lucian.
Yeah. I also like how their whole thing. I didn't see the version in Japanese, so I don't know what the exact lines were. With the whole thing like, Kazuto, are you aware that everybody in the cafeteria can see us? And that whole like embarrassing thing, and again, maybe it was different lines in the Japanese version, and maybe I don't get it because it's the whole Japanese like mindset of the whole like very shy, not open publicly with
no
like
public
relationships.
Space of affection.
Yeah. No PDA. Yeah. No PDA.
And a lot of schools, like they're in school right now, and a lot of schools will actually have rules like that in Japan where there is absolutely zero PDA or you can get suspended.
Really? But anyway. But I just thought that was really funny, and then we have like Lizbeth and what's her name? The pigtails.
Silica. We never get her actual real life name.
I know.
And actually, Lisbeth's name is different, too. I don't remember what it was. I want to say it was Mika?
Like Ruka or something.
Ruka.
Like.
Bert.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Larry. Larry.
And Silica was Ernie, I think. I think they spun off and did a show with Muppets.
I would watch that.
The dragon was the rubber ducky. She's like, there in her pigtail. I was like, rubber ducky, you're skitty-titty.
Tina. Oh, gosh. Although it is great to see them. And actually, when school lets out, they all go to Agil's cafe or his bar for a big party. And that's when, you know, we have Sugu and Asuna and Kirito, and Sugu definitely feeling like a third wheel.
Yeah.
But then we get at the party, we get kind of wrap ups for various other people in the game, like Yulier and Thinker got married, which
Yay.
I was like, yes, they got married. They got a happy ending.
Yeah.
And things like that. And ultimately, we find out what happened with the World Seed, which once they determined it was safe, safe to use, they uploaded it to a server. And what it was is it has the capability for anybody who downloads it to create their own MMO. And so
they're interlocking with one world can visit another world and
yeah,
and all
the
stuff.
Worlds are connected. And
it's basically the cardinal system for dummies.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can create your own little MMO, and it's getting to the point where you can create one character in one game and hop over to another character.
And still have all your stuff and specs. And
yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome.
And another thing from this is that Alfheim Online was actually picked up by another company, because mm-hmm. prior to that, Alfheim was shut down.
Yes.
And because
for good.
Again,
reason.
For millions of different scandal reasons.
So here's my thing about that whole thing. So I'm going to role play as Kirito just for a moment. Okay?
Oh, boy.
Hey, you know that place where all those people died and I suffered all that emotional scarring and it was just really
probably a PTSD.
Terrible. You know what sounds like fun? Going back there.
Seriously?
No! No!
We have to go back to the island, Kate. We have to go back to the island.
No! Screw the island. No!
That scene,
I don't want to.
There's a smoke monster there. No!
Why?
That scene reminded me, like, I mean, when the scene goes when they're in the game and you just see it appearing in front of the moon and all its glorious splendor. Years ago when I saw Titanic with my mother, the one funny thing, I think the rare things that she say that's funny, sorry, Mom. I just remember at the very end of the, you're stuck in this chair for 3 hours watching Titanic, you're exhausted, and in the end, she dies. She dies.
Oh, at the very, very end.
Spoiler alert.
No, I'm not going to watch the movie.
Came out almost 17 years ago, a long time ago, so deal with it. But basically, the one thing she said, and the entire movie cracked up, was when she's like envisioning herself, heaven is back on the Titanic, and my mom just said, crap, I'm back here again. And the entire theater, like, people are crying still, they're moved, and then they just start laughing. Someone's pissed that they're laughing at it because, you know. But, like, that's what I felt was this thing. Like, it's coming back, and you'd be like, damn it, no! You know, like, you don't.
On the one hand, I can understand having a certain nostalgia for it because for some people, they grew accustomed to life in the game. So I can understand. Yeah. But yeah, there was a lot of death there. Kind of terrible.
You expect the Death Star music when
Castle Island.
Coming from a gamer's mentality, I mean, I get the idea of, I got to go back and complete this game I never completed before.
But not if people actually die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's not if.
Yeah, and
let's live through it again and actually beat it this time. Can't wait for level 75.
And don't worry, I reset all my stats, so we're going to go from scratch. So I really got to work hard at this.
That's what boggled my mind. Yeah. It's like, don't you want to just go in there and be a god, just like reaping everything ahead of you and be like, level 100 in a day.
Like, no, I want to face Laughing Coffin again.
I mean, if you have the golden gun and, GoldenEye, why would you go back to a regular pistol?
Exactly.
Yeah, seems
because
silly.
The Magnum in GoldenEye is horribly overpowered, that's why.
Well, so was Kirito.
Yeah.
But
he was the golden gun of the game.
But I can appreciate what he was trying
smart.
To do for his little sister, too, because do you want to beat the game with
me? Felt very left out because here are all these people that have had all this experience years into the game, and she's kind of still a noob, so to speak.
Yeah.
And, just being left out. Like, she's sitting there at the bar like, I don't belong here. Why am I here? Why am I included into any of this? I didn't suffer this with these people. I'm not going to the same school. I don't have the same life.
And that was
Come,
her initial motivation.
Share our trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, that was her initial motivation for getting into Alfheim Online anyway.
Yeah, it was because she wanted to understand.
She wanted to understand, and I think now it just comes full circle for her because now Kirito can bring her on that journey that he did.
I think I say
anywhere,
this
anywhere as long as it's with you.
Yeah.
I think I say this every episode, but nobody learned from Dot Hack, the series, the sequel.
Why do they keep going in?
And now it's like Gameception because Castle Einkrad is in Alfheim Online. So it's like, how many layers do we keep going?
Hopefully now that they have wings, they can. Well, I wonder, too, how interesting it is if they're combining, though. I wonder if they can use magic now in Alfheim.
That'd be awesome. You mean an Einkraft?
Einkraft.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow,
Einkraft.
Yeah.
I would hope the World Seed would have a balancing system within it so it wouldn't break.
Like, they just, like, freeze that scary, creepy, like, caterpillar, like, skeleton death thing.
Or better reaper? Yet, somebody comes back from Guns Online and just starts shooting everything.
It's okay, guys.
You guys got swords? That's cute.
Why don't they just fly to the top of Einkraft?
Yeah.
There you go. Just get to the
And why didn't they use the eagles to get to Mount Doom?
That's true. Although, how great would it be? Yeah, if you have a camping sniper in Hinecrad, that
just
would help so much.
On the top of the tower.
That would be so great. Well, before we go ahead and talk about SAO Extra Edition, because that's basically where the series ends, is everybody coming together to go through Castle Hinecrad. Before we talk about that, I want to talk to you guys really quick about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much for everybody who's gone to comment and rate on iTunes. We read the comments. We absolutely love what you have to say, and we read all the comments on YouTube, too. Thank you guys so much. And honestly, going to iTunes and rating and leaving a comment is the best way we can let our bosses know that you like the content that we're putting out. AfterBuzz puts out, what, 75 shows
like
a week?
Like, it's like anywhere between 60 to 80 hours of content per week.
Exactly.
None of the engineers sleep.
It's true.
We have proof.
It's kind of ridiculous how hard they work. And so it really means a lot to us when you guys leave a comment and you rate, because that tells us that we're doing a good job and that we're putting on the show you want to see.
And that's how we get great guests like these guys.
Yeah.
Give us 5 stars because we love you just as much as you love us.
Exactly. So thank you, everybody who's gone. Keep up the good work. We really appreciate it. Okay, so really quick before we want to talk to you guys about your involvement with Sword Art Online and voice acting in general. So we're going to speed through SAO Extra Edition. We've gotten tons and tons of comments from you guys that you wanted to hear us talk about it, so I apologize we're not going to go into it very much in depth. But basically, it's mostly a recap film.
Yeah.
Because Kazuto is telling the story of what happened to him in SAO, and we also have this side story where the ladies of SAO are teaching Sugu how to swim, which is just
fan
kind of a big
corner.
Yeah, which yeah. is yeah, just a big excuse to see the girls in their swimsuits.
They didn't get a swimsuit episode in the anime, so they gotta do it here.
Yeah. It's an hour and a half of recap and swimsuits, so we just skip to the end.
Because, towards the end, they actually do go on an underwater mission because Yui wants to see what a whale looks like.
And Yui wants to ride a whale.
Who doesn't?
It's a dream. That's the dream. But so they all decide to go on this underwater mission together, which I actually really enjoy. This was a lot of fun because we get to see everybody that we've grown attached to in the series who've gotten their own kind of individual episodes separate from each other. We get to see them come together for the first time on a mission and play off one another and actually work together to accomplish a goal. And I want an entire season of that. Yeah. Where was that during all of SAO?
We got Climb Back. I was thrilled.
I'm just upset that we didn't in the bar going back real quick to the last the epilogue. I'm just upset we didn't see him in the bar like eating that curry pizza and drinking like a ginger ale. That's what I'm upset about.
He was drinking something hard.
He was drinking hardcore even though he had to go back to work later.
It makes the overtime more manageable and go by quicker.
I did love how he was like, pass me a big boy drink.
So
Klein was a lot of fun. But basically, when they get down to this underwater kind of ruin, temple ruins, which if anybody's played Legend of Zelda, you know the water temples are the worst.
So, iron boots. Iron boots.
They see an NPC, and they accept this quest to go retrieve a pearl. So they go through, they retrieve the pearl and come back, only to find out that the NPC is not actually on the up and up. He's actually the Kraken. And I did like how the name was an anagram for Kraken. Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't yell, release the Kraken, when this went down, you're lying. You totally did. Come on, guys.
Admit it. They start to fight the creature, and they realize that maybe resetting Kirito's stats wasn't the best option.
Yeah, I think.
Because your stats are slowed down anyway when you're underwater. But then, luckily, some random
God of the sea
interrupted the fight. They talked about stuff that didn't make any sense to anybody, and then they both left.
Well, this was fun.
Because they found out that the pearl was actually an egg for something that
they
would
have a
become,
thing with eggs recently. Yeah. There's a lot of eggs.
A lot of
for
eggs.
For the eggs.
For the creature that will eventually rule the seas and skies.
These last couple of episodes was like having like babies on the brain or something.
It's about birth and rebirth. It's a symbol, okay?
I think he was just trying to say, I need a plant. Some seeds for season 3. I need to make sure there's some story going forward.
Exactly.
I would watch an entire series about the sea god and the Kraken. Forget all these other little guys. I want to see that. Show me that story.
And basically, as they go back up to the surface, the sea god summons a whale. So they all get to ride a whale back up to the surface, which was cute and adorable. And again, I really liked seeing them all together mm-hmm. and work on things together. I would love more of that from this series. But then we cut back to the real world, and Kirito is getting a call from, I don't recall the guy's name, but he's getting a call from the gentleman he was giving all this entire story to. Because he was like, if you ever need me, you know, feel free to give me a call. And
call
sure enough. And sure enough, the Avengers need you, Kirito. Yeah.
It was a 10-second epilogue. It's basically you want to call him and talk to him about the Avengers Initiative, don't you?
Who's
don't
we?
You? Don't you?
So go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Can I say that I was really hoping that the whale storyline was going to turn into Star Trek Movie 5?
Oh. We have to save the whale.
Basically, this whole thing was essentially pointless, but fun to watch.
Yeah.
We could have used a few more episodes like that.
Right.
Yeah, especially because of how heavy, you know, a lot of the beginning of SAO was with poor people dying all the time.
They did have that little arc where they all went fishing.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Kirito learned to fish.
That's true. That was an adorable episode, and that was a lot of fun. But now that we've gotten through SAO Extra Edition, we have three wonderful, wonderful guests, and we want to talk to you guys about your involvement with SAO. How did you guys all get involved? Because I can't even imagine what the audition process was like.
I'm pretty sure we all auditioned probably, well... Did you audition for Kirito too?
Yeah, right? Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you got the Kirito voice.
I thought I sounded a little too young for him.
A little too young.
Yeah.
big mistake on my part. You made a great Kirito. I think we. Well, I don't know about.
I
you.
Auditioned for Sachi and also for Sugo.
Yeah. And actually, now that I think about it, I auditioned for Kirito. Keita and Diabelle?
I think, I did all three of those.
Yeah,
too,
exactly. Yeah. I think those were the main three that went out to most of the guys.
Yeah.
And I got Keita of those three.
Yeah. I auditioned for the same three characters that he auditioned for. I didn't get any of those characters. However, I did get a call a couple weeks later saying, hey, we want you to come in for this one character, and then we'll just have you do some deaths throughout the show. Like, I did my one character in, like, half an hour of a two-hour session.
You had a great death scream, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I pride myself on my screams, actually.
I got, like, pickaxed, you know,
yeah.
Several times.
Oh, my God. Well, no, like, the director was just like, no, make it bloodier, make it gorier. Like, we can't show blood in this scene. We can only let it come through the voices, so just go for it. And then any fight scene, I think, like, basically any fight scene, I'm a soldier in there, thrown around. I'm one of Rosalia's henchmen. I'm one of, I'm one of the people that one of my favorite lines of my incidental characters is
in the first episode, off camera line.
Yeah, off camera line. Kayaba reveals that you will die in game, and I say, "Well, that is such BS." Like, not even invested.
That one.
Yeah, not even invested. Just like, oh, that is BS.
Come on,
I'm gonna die? Really?
Such a bummer. Sounds like more like a mild inconvenience.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally sucks, man.
I know.
Like, gosh. Sucks. Like, I was going to do stuff, but now I got to die. That, like,
you have
totally
a girl in the real world. I don't got a girl.
Man. I ordered a pizza.
Pepperoni and everything.
I love that. Klein. I ordered a pizza.
Avengers 4 comes out in 2 weeks. How am I going to see that? I'm stuck in
Then here. I would just jump off one of those bridges myself. No. I was just like, I'm missing the Avengers. Screw
that
this.
Was the real reason why my character jumped off.
Yeah.
No. But it would be on Blu-ray by the time you got out.
but that's pretty common as far as sometimes, again, we'll audition for certain roles, and we may not get those roles, but then, you know, they'll like what we did, or they can hear our voice for something else, and they go, oh, well, you know, we'll put
and
you
sometimes
here.
It'll be just a placeholder, too. Like, they'll just choose a couple of characters to audition for all the characters, because Sword Art Online has so many.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dear Lord.
If they audition for every single one of those characters,
it would take forever.
They would have to pull the sides for each one.
They would have to do a discussion for each individual one. So
yeah, it's just a lot of time.
Yeah.
I just had a realization of why this was probably particularly, like, when I remember in the beginning of the show, we were like, I wonder if it was only Japan or if it was, like, all over the world. And I just realized, no, this wouldn't have been able to work in America. All those people who had to go in the hospital, like 95% of them didn't have health insurance.
Yeah.
End of season.
Why do you think 2,000 people died in the first month?
Yeah, why do you think Breaking Bad wasn't set in England or anything? What, I got cancer? Oh, universal health care. Season over.
That's all.
definitely.
Well, you guys mentioned earlier that your episode, The Red-Nosed Reindeer, was voted one of the top three episodes of SAO, period. Yeah. What's that like to just have such positive fan response to the episode that you guys were involved in?
Well, I don't think I even knew that. That was one of the top. No.
Wow.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It was really incredible, and especially at the premiere of season two, because we were watching through all these three episodes before the actual first episode of season two aired, and the audience was very familiar with each of these episodes, so they had the best reactions. Yeah. So the line comes up, ooh, a treasure chest, and you hear the entire audience, no! They were really
into it.
And Bryce was sitting next to me. We were like, we were laughing. We're like, hey, here's a good drinking game. Every time Kirito lies, every time he says, I will protect you, and he doesn't, or every time he says, you are going to be great. And yeah, we would be drunk by the end of the second episode.
You'll be dead of alcohol poisoning before anyone else dies on screen.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode in particular, it's so painful.
Yeah. I gave Bryce so much crap for it, too. I was just like, why'd you take us to a higher level there, Kirito?
Why did you let us go?
It was your idea.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize it until I rewatched it. I was just like, oh, God, I've been giving him crap for a year.
Us are always like, why did you take us to that room? You're so greedy with your treasure chest.
I know. I was
dead because of you.
I failed a trap check. I rolled a critical miss on that one.
Oh,
sorry.
Nat one.
Yeah. You're all friends in real life. Did you guys know when you guys went into interview that you had all gotten parts as friends in the game or in the show?
We couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the problem is the dreaded NDAs, yeah, the non-disclosure agreements.
Like, tell anyone. No.
Yeah.
But in sometimes though, I mean, again, because we're coming in and out of sessions, and we'll be like, oh, hey. So, you're just in for something, huh? Cool. You have fun? Yeah, cool. I wonder what it is.
So did you guys not know that you were all in the same episode together until...
Not like, till later.
Not till later. Yeah, they did the full announcement, and thankfully they announced our characters with soon after the main cast.
Yeah, which was nice.
It wasn't too far off, so... It was really cool to see, and not just us. Like a lot of our friends are in this. I play tabletop with Rosalia and KG's and KG Tang. I forget which one Schmidt. Yeah.
Oh.
We all play MMOs together. Final Fantasy 14. They won't let me be the.
So really,
hunter.
No acting involved.
They don't let me be the rogue.
So our,
you play online games with a bunch of...
This is getting very meta.
Yeah.
Sorry. Inception.
How deep does it go?
It's all preparation. Really.
There's a game within the game.
So many layers.
You all do different types of voice work. Do you have a particular preference for the type of voice work that you like to do? Like, do you love just getting to do anime, or do you prefer like the video game work or original animation or the audiobooks?
I like to work.
Yeah. I like to be get a paycheck for
exactly.
providing a roof over my head, and I used it from my voice.
Honestly, that's I mean, certain types of work more technical than others. I mean, anime, there are different challenges with different types of voiceover work. Like with anime, the biggest challenge for me, and I think most of us, is the technical aspect of you're having to fit the lip flaps, and there are very specific timing parameters that you have to fit your performance to.
Yeah.
But still make it sound organic and like it's coming out for the first time and not like you're fitting it to specific time code. So that's challenging, but it's also very rewarding when you can get it right.
Yeah.
Video games, you don't have that same kind of...
Constriction.
Sometimes you still have to match it to the time code.
Yeah, some,
I mean, like, it has to be exactly
has to be
the
within
same.
A certain... Yeah, like, you can't be... You know, if the original line was 5 seconds, you can't spend 15 seconds. I am going to really chew the scenery on this line. Not
I'd
so
imagine
much.
That's also very hard, like what you said. It's when you're matching lip flaps, you have to make it sound real. You're still acting, but because you have that restraint, it's just... I mean, it's so much harder than just giving, like, for an animation where they're matching the actual animation to you because it's pre-recorded before they do that. And because I remember, like, I always mention it, you watch the old subtitles from, like, back in the early 90s, and not half the work really went into it as much as it does nowadays, where it's such a serious, like, no act, make it real, match the flaps, go.
Well, that's another challenge is the reacting. Because we work in video games and anime together, it's a lot of just one person in the booth at a time. Mm-hmm. We're relying on our own imagination for how our scene partner is going to be delivering his or her lines. We have to react off of just what we think they're going to do.
You're all like, no, don't do it!
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And sometimes we'll get the luxury in anime of having the lines recorded before us. Somebody will be in, like, in the scene, and they'll have recorded before us, and we can get something to play off of. Yeah, but a lot of times, like I said, it's just relying on our own facilities, our own imagination.
Yeah. Well, because you're in a booth, and there's no, we don't have props, or anything like that, like stage actors.
We're not method actors.
No, you couldn't be. It would be. How would you do that? Okay, now actually, again, for my character, now fall off to your death. Okay.
We're going to take the microphone to the top of the studio, not just jump.
Exactly. So you have to hold all of that in your. You have to imagine it. You know, we're really. Delving into the realms of imagination and channeling that through our performance in order to get the most organic performance that we can.
And that's a benefit of
In our scene when Sachi does the humming, I had to match it exactly to the Japanese. Yeah. So they were playing it in my ear, and so I had to kind of chase it and, like, match all of the breaths that she takes and everything. So I did it a couple of times. They were like, you were a little bit off-key at that one point, or you got a little bit too fast. Could you do it again? I'm like,
I hate singing in anime. It is so annoying. matching lip flaps.
It's impossible because with the way the translation goes and everything.
I'm just laughing because at her having to do... it's like, she just likes to be like, I'm from America where this song comes from. I know how to do it better than she did. She let me go with it. You want words? Rudolph the Red. Does she know the words? No, she didn't.
I don't know how to sing that. Sorry.
Well, and that part was like the most heartbreaking part of the entire episode.
It was just end scene.
It's just like, have we crushed your soul enough? Okay, roll the credits.
You're really good.
Yeah, it was
very sweet.
It was a very touching performance.
The audience completely went silent when that part came up. Actually,
Well, we're running a little bit short on time, but I do want to ask you guys: are there any upcoming projects that you're? I know with NDAs you can't really say a whole lot, but if there's anything you can promote, anything you want to kind of plug, feel free. Now's the time.
We are all in Blood Lab, which just came out, so I hope you guys check that out.
One of the leads, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, we kind of match your color scheme, too, with the yellow and black.
But Blood Lab. Yeah.
Blood Lad.
Which is a very funny show.
Yes.
Dub is very good.
Mm-hmm. Nice. We're to improv a lot in that. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you guys
It was very. It was really cool.
I just got punched in the crotch a lot. That's all my character.
Did you go method with that too?
Yeah. I did method acting with that one. I just kept the hammer in the booth.
Yeah. Kirk's like, do it again. Okay. Now I believe it. That's good. I can feel the pain.
You guys are awfully dedicated.
Anything else?
I'm in this World of Warcraft cinematic that just got released, part of their Lords of War series as young Durotan. So check that out. Cool. I'm in Sailor Moon, which you can buy the first sets. I think it's 23 episodes. I play Zoisite and Motoki Furuhata in that.
I can't wait to see your rendition of the episode where Zoisite gets chased by rats.
I loved it so much. It's one of my favorites.
I look so forward to that because I was rewatching that episode for the first time in forever, and I could not stop laughing because it's the first time I saw the original Japanese version.
Just covered in rats. It's ridiculous.
And it's just like,
Well, sad. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt.
No, please. Go ahead. I'm done.
Yeah. As for me, Tales of Xillia 2 just came out, and I'm in there. Ooh. I do a cameo as Kress and a bunch of other incidentals. Toradora is my big show that was just released. I play Ryuji Takasu in that one. And we just finished recording the first volume of Magi Season 2, so that will be coming out hopefully soon enough. I'm really excited for that. And there's been no announcement, but I'm just trying to get the hype train out there. Excel World. Please, please, please ask for a second season. Yeah.
It's a really good series.
It's the writer of Sword Art Online. It's the same great world building, and there's been hints in Sword Art the second season that there might be a crossover because they are supposed to be in the same world.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
No, there are some heavy hints that there's a connection between Kirito and Hatayuki. Oh. And actually, when I was at Anime Expo, I talked to Reki Kawahata, the writer of Sword Art, and I asked him point blank, is there a connection? And of course, he gave me the... I'm not saying. I don't know. I mean, who maybe? I don't know.
Well, here's hoping. We're looking forward to all of that. That's going to be great. Where can AfterBuzz fans go to find you guys online to find out more?
I am on Facebook and Twitter. Please look for me. Yeah.
And what is your handle on Twitter?
On Twitter, I am itzandor.
That's awesome.
Well, you can go to my website, luciandodge.com. I know it's very complicated, but I trust you can figure it out. Pretty much anything that's fit to print, any new announcements I'll make on there. And I do have a Twitter and fan page, Facebook page, which is just Lucian Dodge. It's my name.
Sweet.
So
cool.
And you can find me on Twitter at ekimmerer, E-K-I-M-E-R-E-R, and also on Facebook I have a fan page under Eric Scott. No last name. It's way too difficult to pronounce.
E-R-E-R-O.
That's actually a new one. In 26 years of life, that's a new one, so congratulations.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming to join us on the panel today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Tari, where can the people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also catch me on the Doctor Who's Classic panel on Wednesdays. Catch the finale of Extant this Wednesday as well. Liz?
Hey, guys. You can find me, Liz Rishmawi, on Twitter and Instagram. Same handle, at Lizzie Maui, L-I-Z-Z-Y-M-A-W-Y. I'm also going to continue doing the Sword Art Online panel here. Legend of Korra Season 4 will start in October. We're trying to figure that out. And also, you can catch me on tomorrow's episode of the Doctor Who Recap.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Attack on Titan and Z Nation panels, both on Sunday, Classic Doctor Who on Wednesday, and Ruby every other Thursday.
And I'm Megan. You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I'm on a lot of those same ones.
So. You're on all of the same ones.
Pretty much. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in to AfterBuzz tonight. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principal.